I want to say thank you so much for coming out last month for those that could and help us with our Thanksgiving meal that we had that Saturday before Thanksgiving. That was a huge blessing to be able to serve. That was the most people we had ever served in a setting like that. It was our 17th year of reaching out into that community and helping. It was a great setting in that we were able to include the principals of the schools, even previous principals that had already retired, had come back to just to be a part of that and want to serve some city officials and just other people that were able to come and be a part. Our ministry that I run is called Synergy in Action. And the synergy, again, is where faith-based and non-faith-based can work together for the betterment of the community, the family, the child, and be able to work hand-in-hand to see how we can offer the best of what we have to see what we can do to make a greater impact. And the big part of that is the idea that the church would be included. Many times we know that the city is always trying to do what it can to improve life in its community, but many times the church is not invited to that table to see what they can do to participate. And so by praying about it, we came up with the mentality of, well, if the church isn't going to be invited to the table to be a part of big decisions for the community, why don't we throw the party? Why don't we be the one, as the church, to throw the event and show the rest of the community that we'll be the largest contributor to this cause? And so realizing that they can't kick you out of your own party. You know, if you're hosting something, they can't kick you out of that. So, but they'll want to participate and they'll want to be a part of that. And that's where this whole idea has come, to see how we can work together, understanding there's lines that we don't cross as far as the idea of the world doesn't want the church to come in and start preaching, and the church doesn't want the world to come and tell them what it can and cannot do. So we work together. And we're just praying for more opportunities like that, to see how can we, Lord, be creative in being able to reach into our community in some facet that can include people from the community. That's why I love this ministry and what you guys have, and the idea of praying for your big event this coming Saturday, your party, because I think about just exactly what you're doing. It's clearly what I see is the synergy of it. You guys are using a tool that is really something adaptable to a lot of people that want to be a part of something like that, and you're drawing them in. And the fact that people are coming in, maybe even to that place of questioning where their faith and questioning what's going on, that you're going to be able to be there. And when they ask of the hope that you have within you, that you're able to share with them who Christ is and able to do that, I believe that's something that we could all create and see happening within our day-to-day lives, at work, at school, in our community, in our neighborhood, wherever it may be, that, Lord, give me something, give me a tool, give me an opportunity, a divine appointment. How can I relate to this person? How can I communicate with this person? Many times they don't want to hear us preaching, but maybe there's something in common that we have. And then in that, we can build relationship, and we can build trust, and we can build the ability to see something go a little further than what it normally would with anybody else. This is my first time being able to be with you in the time that I've known you, to be here in the month of December. So to come and see how you celebrate Advent, as well as even the Jesse tree, this is really cool. I've never seen one. Obviously, I've known of the scriptures of Isaiah, and so to see how you guys celebrate that, that's really cool. Who came up with this one? I mean, this is, I was wondering, is that CJ? Is that Kevin? You made that really clear, that was CJ, huh? But I love that. I love that idea. I didn't know Jesus was that hip, you know, and so excited, and to do that. But, no, I love that. I could love to see a picture or something later to see how it's all going to be filled with all the different ornaments and stuff. You see, the beauty about celebrating Christ and his coming as a babe, it's beautiful to see from culture to culture, church tradition to tradition. And we usually, many times, we think of it to the extreme of how nations celebrate. But within even our own nation, we all celebrate it differently, even within our own churches. From even the church maybe down the street, an evangelical church may totally celebrate. But the idea is, what's the intent of our heart? Where are we at? The idea that you guys are looking forward to having your kids participate in a play and be able to act out the time of Christ like that, and the whole nativity scene. This is beautiful. I'd like to pray and then just go in and share with you what I feel God has put on my heart to share with you today. So, Lord, we thank you, God, so much for another opportunity to come together. We do pray, Lord, as we've been praying throughout this service, we do pray now, Lord, that you would help us to open our ears, Lord, to hear what you have to say. I pray you use me, God, to do the best, Lord, I can as a vessel. But it's your words, Lord. It's who you are in our lives that make the difference. In Jesus' name, we thank you and pray. Amen. Amen. As I mentioned, that Advent has been celebrated for so long, and so many people celebrate it in so many different ways. As you guys are naming each of the candles for different faces of faith and joy and so on, that others, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, will emphasize different aspects of where some would emphasize the town of Bethlehem, and others would celebrate when the angels or the shepherds first heard, and then the angels first heard. And so there's a cross-culture Advent, but the idea is to build up, to look forward to celebrating Christ. Now, how we get to that, as far as just a key, is celebrating Christ and recognizing who he is. I'd like to take it just a step even further back, prior to when it first was acknowledged, but take it even, where does it really all begin? Where I was going to go is exactly here in Genesis 3:15. You see, where it really begins is the prophecy that there would be a Savior, the prophecy that Christ would come. And as was stated here on this symbol here is the cross, but it's really the first prophetic word that is given in the Bible about a Savior coming. Actually, it's the first prophecy. Other than God himself speaking, and then the world was created. He spoke it, it happened. That in itself is prophecy. But to actually speak about the prophecy of a Savior, of someone coming that would be an enemy to the devil. And then I love this again, how the prophecy showing here that stated that the enemy will be crushed. Prophecy has been used for one purpose and one reason only. People keep talking about, what is prophecy? Why is prophecy even needed? For God to show each one of us who he is. You see, because if we didn't have prophecy and all we had was stories, all we had was, we would refer to as just history, but if we didn't have the prophecy, we would really debate and argue whether these stories are just legends, are these stories or myths. But the idea that someone prophesied a specific thing and for it to actually take place, every prophecy about Christ, over 300, about him coming, being born, and him fulfilling every one of those, that in itself is mind-blowing. But the idea of the knowing that it doesn't just stop there, but the prophecies of not only him coming the first time, but him actually him coming again. This is the era and the time that we're living now, where the Bible is very clear for all of us to be excited and rejoice, not only that Christ came, but he's coming back, to look forward to him coming back into being with us. I would like to take you to a prophecy that took place, and how what happened this past week is actually seeing this happening, being fulfilled. I want you to turn to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, very familiar scripture of a story that many probably have heard. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. It says, "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley, and it was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.' Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied, and as I was commanded, and I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come and breathe from the four winds, and breathe into this slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood upon their feet as a vast army. Just a little bit more reading. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, O bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Now, that was a lot of reading there. But I want you to understand something here about this story. Many pastors and preachers throughout the years prior to 1948, as a matter of fact, prior to May 14th, 1948, had prophesied this, and many still spoke this message and read this, but spoke it in such a manner as though how it would apply to each one of us. That from the four corners of the earth, no matter how dead you feel you may be, and how shattered your life may be, and how things may be gone and dry bones, that in God, through Christ, you can live again. The old is past, the new is come. Christ is our Lord and Savior, and it is only through Him that we have life. Jesus Himself stated it, that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but through Him. And that our sovereign Lord would say, speak breath into this situation. In Corinthians, it says that you and I have the gift of reconciliation. That is the ability to bring back together that which once was. You see, God, Christ, who lives inside you, you have the ability to mend and bring together something that is shattered and gone and broken. You see, even today, this still applies in that manner, that we as the church, as the bride of Christ, have the ability to go and help amend this world in Jesus' name. But I want to take you to what the Jews think about this. It says this verse, this story is speaking about Israel and how Israel will be brought back together as one nation. You see, at this time when Ezekiel was taken up, the people of Israel were in siege. They were not in their land. They were captured. They weren't living there. It was shattered. It was gone. The people were scattered everywhere. And he says, one day, everyone will come back. One day, everyone will be back. That date I threw out to you, May 14th, 1948. You see, other scriptures ask the question, can a nation be born in one day? Is it possible for a nation to be born in one day? I mean, think about this in this mindset. Can a nation, literally, can a nation be born in one day? Here, it's declaring that. Some people, 200 plus years ago, looked at the United States was born in one day by the Declaration of Independence, July 4th, 1776. We didn't have a nation by way of, we had to fight for it years after that battle took place, that battle that we fought against the English. But it was declared on July 4th that it would be. It was a declaration. It was a prophetic stand saying, we will be a nation. So many people looked at that setting. Yeah, it's possible for it to be in one nation, to be born in one day. But here, May 14, 1948, after the World War II, President Truman puts it into law and declares that Jerusalem and Israel will be a nation again. The last time Israel was a nation was in 70 AD when the Romans came and destroyed Jerusalem and destroyed and scattered the Jews from that point on. And for the last 2,000 years that the Jews had been scattered and been dealt with in so many horrific ways, from the Spanish Inquisition to the Holocaust. You can see throughout history how the Jews had been treated. But in 1948, after World War II, Israel became a nation again. And for some people that are hearing me right now, I'm just saying even through this tape or you guys listening here may think like, big deal, what does that have to do with me and celebrating Christmas? It has everything to do with us. Because you see, now recognizing Israel as a nation, that 70 years ago, this has been a nation. You see, the people of Israel have always known that Jerusalem was their capital. They've always known. But no one else recognized it. They've always known that Israel and the motherland, the promised land, was given to them from the time that Joshua crossed over into that promised land. It was given to them by God. You see, I don't understand if you know this or not, but see, when Joshua crossed over to that promised land was given to them even before. Remember, they left during Joseph's time. They left to Egypt because of the famine. All they were doing was returning back to the land that God had given them from before. He had promised them that land, and they were going back to the promise that God gave them. I don't know if you've ever heard the term squatters. You ever heard the term squatters? You see, I really didn't understand that word until my mother explained to me that we had an uncle and some cousins that squatted some property from my mom. Now, I know somebody may hear this and I'll have to hear about this later, but I'm going to tell you because I felt God told me to tell you to understand. In Mexico, my mom had bought some property. And it was there. She was paying the taxes every year. I remember that. She'd always save money to pay the taxes. And then one day, I guess an uncle made the decision that since my mom wasn't there and living in California, that they would go and be on the land. And then he brought his kids, and they started building on the property without my mom knowing. And it got to the place that possession is nine-tenths of the law, that because of they had been living there and they had been there, my mom hadn't visited for a while, she just paid the taxes, then the next thing you know, that property belongs to them. Legally? No. It really didn't. But culturally, it did. My mom ended up losing that property, and it was something that I really came to the place to understand that when Joshua crossed over that Jordan River and came into Jericho and came into these other communities that they had to conquer, all they were doing was taking back the land that actually belonged to them to begin with. When Israel became a nation again and coming back into their country and coming back after being scattered all over the world, they're literally just coming back to what belonged to them, even though it was 2,000 years. It still belonged to them. It was given to them. For President Trump this last week to make a declaration, and some people say, what's the big deal about him just moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? It's a huge deal, especially when it comes to prophecy. You see, prophecy is just everything pointing to God again. The prophecy of Christ coming, all these prophecies of him being born in a manger, him being born in Bethlehem, him being born in poverty, him being born in so many things. He fulfills all those. And yet prophecy is still being fulfilled in so many ways.
now that Jerusalem is going to be declared. Now, the people of Israel have known that Jerusalem was their capital. It's like I told my student government class, my leaders. I got senior class president, junior class president, and so on. I said, you are not a leader because you call yourself a leader. You're a leader because others look to you as a leader now. And they've given you that honor. They voted for you, so you're a leader. That's the first phase. The second phase is now to become a servant leader, just like Christ. He said, I didn't come into the world to be served. I came to serve, to be a servant leader. But I said to them, you're not a leader until someone says you're a leader. In this same mindset, it's the same scenario here with Jerusalem. Why is Israel rejoicing? I mean, they always knew that Jerusalem was their capital, but it was finally somebody acknowledging on the outside that Jerusalem is the capital. Again, what's that have to do with each one of us? It has a lot. About Jerusalem? No. Jerusalem is the eternal city. Jerusalem means city of peace. I don't know if you knew that or not. It means city of peace. But Jerusalem in all this time has never been a city of peace. It's always been the battle, especially concerning the Philistines or the Palestinians. The Philistines are the ancestors of the Palestinians. And they have what's known as the Gaza Strip. The Palestinians right now living in Israel are like, in reference to the Native Americans living here in the United States, having a set of property that they're allowed to live on. It would be like the Native Americans now saying, we want our own country back. We want our country in a setting in that manner. The Palestinians never had authority over the property. They're just given the right to live there. I'm going to say something that I want you to watch for. My mom and I were talking, and I said, this is awesome that President Trump is acknowledging Jerusalem. I don't know if you know this or not, but there's many countries now that have said they're going to move their capitals there too. So the world is rejoicing that Jerusalem is now being recognized as the capital. But this is what I said to my mom. I said, now we need to make sure that President Trump doesn't do anything to divide the country. If he, in his proclamations, divides the country, there is literally through scripture you can find where God says that tragedy will come against those that try to give up the country that I've given to Israel. And I just said, we just got to make sure. Now, he proclaimed and said straight out, he goes, I'm going to fight for peace, but only based on if the two parties agree on this. We'll see where that goes. Why am I saying this? Because prophecy is still so active more now than ever before. Much of the prophecies that talked about the future before 1948, about 80% had not been fulfilled. Since 1948 to where we're at now, about 80% have been fulfilled. We've still got a little bit more of prophecy to be fulfilled and where we're at. Okay, again, what does it have to do with Christmas? What does it have to do with Christ? What does it have to do with us? Other than this, my friend, that prophecy shows that God is real. Prophecy shows that God is alive. Prophecy is showing that God is with you and me. When the scriptures say that He will never leave us nor forsake us, when the scriptures say that God is with us in every facet and in every manner, that He is the lamp unto my path, He is the one that guides me and leads me, we as Christians need to continue to stay focused. Look, as prophecy is being fulfilled, God, I need to stay focused on you. Because the enemy is going to try to come in any way possible to deceive you. Because right now, you know what I'm dealing with as I speak in schools and public schools? There is such a heaviness of depression going on within our students. Even in the Christian school I'm at, I've had to deal with four teenagers wanting to commit suicide these last 2 weeks. Separate kids, don't even know each other, in our little school there. the depression, the anger, the frustration, the confusion, and the wanting to give up. And it's like, man, this is not the time for us as Christians to get cold. Yes, it's traditional to celebrate Christmas when we get festive and we get all caught up into the festivities, and this is beautiful. But many times what happens is that we go right back into our ways when Christmas is over. As Advent leads us to celebrate what's coming, we don't just stop. We got to keep going. Why? Because prophecy is still alive. The prophecy of these dry bones coming back to life. The people of Israel said that prophecy there happened in 1948. But literally, it's still active today. Because maybe you know someone. Maybe you feel and you know that, hey, my life is feeling dry. It's feeling scattered. It's feeling broken apart. Things around me are not working. Things feel messed up. The very God who spoke life into seeing a nation be born in one day. Isn't it ironic that it took a United States president, President Truman, to declare Israel as a nation? And it took Trump now to declare Jerusalem as its capital. It's funny when you read scripture and prophecy that the United States is not mentioned in the Bible at all. But how impactful it is all throughout as far as what's happening prophetically. The God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever is the God who lives in you right now. Maybe this message is not hitting home in the idea of the way I'm trying to portray it, because I'm a vessel just trying to be faithful in what I'm here and saying here, is that the prophetic voice of God is still active. He's not given up on you. He's not given up on me. If he could create a nation in one day, he can change your situation in one moment. He can change it as we turn to him, as we focus on him. The God who has able to do whatever he wants to do, wants to work in your individual life. And a lot of people feel like, well, God is so big and the world is so big. Why would he even want to do anything for me directly? Because he cares for you so much that he wants to help you in your situation. Advent really began here, Genesis 3:15. That there would be someone who will crush the enemy of your life. And that's only Jesus. We celebrate him coming. I know there's people that argue, well, how do we know he was even born December 25th? It's not about the date of December 25th. It's the fact that we celebrate that he was born. Many people are actually coming to the place of proving that he was actually born during the feast in September. In September. Now think about that. We say, well, why do we celebrate in December? Well, we that are pro-life, don't we believe that life begins when? Yes. So if you count December through September, what is that? How many months? Yes, exactly. So the idea that if we're celebrating of anything, life began, whether you want to celebrate his birth, actually, or the conception, that we're celebrating that Christ is here, and he's here to crush anything that's against God in your life. You and I have an opportunity to take what God is doing in each one of our lives and pass that along to somebody else. I've heard this question asked a number of times already, and I want you to think about this where it kind of hits home. If God were to answer every one of your prayers, would the world change? Would your community change? Would your family change? Or would just you change? Think about that. All your prayers. Every prayer that you have. In other words, is our prayers only about God help me, God help my situation? You and I have the opportunity to be able to take what God has done in each one of us and take this powerful message of hope, of peace, of royalty, of beauty of who God is, and be able to take this message and bring hope to a hopeless generation. We have a hopeless generation. We have people that are frustrated and angry and feel confused and don't know what to do because they're hearing voices from all over the place.
But you and I could be a part of that voice, that soft voice that talks about Christ and who Christ is. I'm excited to hear of great things that happen after this Saturday's party. I am excited about that. What an opportunity to have so many people that are not, let's say, believers, to be able to come in and hear. And maybe not in a preaching format, but as you're sharing some cookies or having a moment silently separate in a corner somewhere and you're talking, and people will come. And so this is what we pray. God, give us divine appointments to meet with our people, especially during this time. It's like this is a perfect time to be able to share about Christ. A couple years back, it was like almost illegal to say Merry Christmas. But that door has closed, and now we have an open door on that. I believe our window may be small of this time that we have. My friend, please hear me. I'm not trying to get political, and I'm not even by any means trying to make President Trump to seem like anything more than what he is. He's a man that's trying his best. Perfect? Absolutely not. But for what he's standing for and what I'm saying as far as Christian value, Judeo-Christian value, this is huge. It's a window that we have at the moment. Who's to say in the future that might change drastically? So the time that we have, that we seize this day, that we take advantage of the opportunity that is given before us to share the love of Christ with all those around. And when your friends come to you saying, I feel like my life is shattered, I feel like my life is dry, I feel like I'm just all over the place. What did he say to the prophet? He said, you prophesy. You speak over that situation. You proclaim life in a lifeless scenario. You be used to come and speak into this situation. I know some right here feel like, man, my life isn't even right with God, or I'm not even all there with God. You know, it was stated that if the room was dark in here, and how beautiful this is going to be when this is all lit. Imagine if one of these candles was just barely flickering. A flickering wick refers to it's about to go out. And it could have still full of life, but it, for whatever reason, it just looks like it's about to go out. If we closed all the lights and it's dark, pitch dark in here, do you understand even a flickering wick brings light in a dark situation? Even if you as a Christian feel like, man, I'm not all there with God right now myself, and I barely feel like I'm holding on, but yet you're flickering wick of life with God is going to shatter darkness. Even if you feel like you're holding on, just that breath of who you are. See, the Bible says very clear that he will not snuff out a flickering wick because you are holding on with God and maybe your life isn't going all that great right now. That doesn't mean God's going to push you aside and he's like, oh, you're not what I want. He does not snuff you out. But what does he do? He lets you shine in a dark place. Even a flickering wick in a dark scenario that you may be coming against, you're still a light. And people are going to look to you because you have hope inside you. You have the hope of Christ inside you. People wonder sometimes, why? Why would God want me? Why would Christ take me? We're not part of that chosen group. We're not Jewish. We're not people of Israel. But we've been adopted. Someone actually adopted us. And that was God himself through Christ. That we've been adopted into this family. But it wasn't meant just to adopt us, that there's room for so many more people. In the time we're living, we need to go and share with people about that they also could be accepted into this family. They could be a part of something great. They could be a part of someone in Christ, in God. To have a father who cares. To have the love of the father inside them. Man, you know, most of these kids that I'm dealing with, it's because of their fathers. I want you to think about this. It's because of the broken relationship with their father. So when I tell them that they could
have a father who cares about them, who will be a father to the fatherless? These kids want to live again because they feel there's hope. I appreciate you guys giving me the chance to come and share with you. You know, my heart is always going to be, we got to do more. So you know, when you hear me preaching from up here, it's going to be, I'm going to challenge you. I have to. We got to do more than what we're doing. Never get satisfied with feeling like, oh, I'm right with God, therefore all is right. Know that we be challenged to know, God, I can do more for you. Please, I'm not talking about busyness. I'm talking about being accurate in, God, what is it you have for me to do? Because we can get burned out in busyness. I'm talking about being able to be focused. Lord, who do you want? If you had $5 and $5 could only feed one homeless person and there's 50 homeless people in front of you, it's not your job or mine to feed the other 49. But it is my job to find the one that needs to be fed. Not just to find some random person because they're homeless. No, there's a specific person that God is calling me to reach, but I got to make an effort to find who that is. My job is not to save the world. My job is to find and love my neighbor and reach out to those that God has opened the door for me to reach, as well as you. You know, God never said for us to love the world. The Bible says that God so loved the world. He said for us to love our neighbor. We have a lot of hurting neighbors out there that feel like this valley of dry bones. If a nation could be born in one day, their life could be changed in one day. I have enough faith to believe that. I believe that. Oh, they might have to fight for it like our American history here. We declared we're a nation, but we got to go now fight for it. There's going to be a battle. But we win. We're not victims. We're victors. In Christ, we're victors, not victims. There's a lot of people that need to hear that. I'm no longer a victim. Let me pray. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word. Because every spoken word that declares something coming, Lord, it's all happening. It's all true. And I know, Lord, many times we even talk about the scriptures that are referring to your second coming. And we say all that. We've been hearing that for years. But Lord, even just what was declared this past week, and now nations are looking to Jerusalem, the eternal city, as the capital. Lord, in that 1,000-year reign, it's out of Jerusalem that you will reign. And God, we pray now that you, Lord, would move upon all of us here in this room and in our families. We have many families that couldn't be here, as we prayed for them that were sick and traveling. And God, we pray, Lord, that you would help us, that this would be a light. God, right now, can we make this into a prayer meeting? Yeah, worship team, please. Can we make this into a prayer meeting? God, right now, we bring before you all those people again on Saturday. I just felt compelled that we would focus. What an opportunity. Lord, for all those that are coming on Saturday for the Christmas party and even for the Christmas services to watch the play, friends would normally come twice a year to church, Christmas and Easter. Lord, if this is the case, then we got to take advantage of this, Lord, and be ready to bring the hope that's within us. So, God, we pray for every individual that's going to walk through that door. As they hear the music, they see the food, the smiles, the festivities, Lord, we declare, God, salvation in the name of Jesus. Hope in the name of Jesus. Peace in the name of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. We stand in the gap right now, God. Lord, we don't want to just tell another story. And God forbid us to ever go through a season of Christmas without ever telling your story. get caught up with shopping and everything else, Lord, but and forget about you, Lord. Clearly you are the reason for the season. And so, God, we need to stay focused on why you came, and that you came, and that you were foretold to come, and that, Lord, you did come and you're coming back. You didn't just die and left us, but God, you sent a comforter, and you said personally that you were coming back. And so there's hope. There's hope. God, we love you and we praise you and we ask you to help us right now. That family member that may be feeling broken and scattered, can their lives be one to be restored? Can they live again? Yes, they can. So we prophesy over their lives, God, and we pray life in the name of Jesus. Help our family members. Help our friends and our neighbors and those that come to work out here. We prophesy life over them, God, in Jesus' name. As your eyes are closed, I believe God is going to show you faces of individuals that you know he's going to put in your heart to go and speak to and encourage. And maybe it's just a hug and a handshake, but God is going to use you. And maybe it's a family member that you're going to see during this season. Maybe it's a neighbor that you don't talk too much, but because of the season, you'll go and wish them a Merry Christmas and the door will open to speak to them. I don't know what's going to happen, but God does. And he's speaking to you right now about reaching into your communities. We love you, God, and we thank you. Can a nation be born in one day? Can a life be restored in one moment? And the answer is yes, in Jesus' name. Amen.